So let me get to my guest. You know, one of the questions I have for you guys is, and we've talked about this off and on for quite some time, is whether Edward Snowden is a hero or not. But you'd have to define what a hero is. At least you'd have to decide what you believe a hero is. And I earlier compared him to, you know, Nazi soldiers and said, look, if you were one of those Nazi soldiers who tried to use the excuse that you were just following orders as you were murdering millions of Jews, well, in the eyes of a Nazi, are you not a hero? But in the eyes of the rest of the world, because you're murdering, yeah, you're not killing in defense of yourself. You are murdering innocent people. That's a whole different story. Did Edward Snowden have a different way to release this information? Did he have to release it the way he did and put so many people in danger? So those would be my questions too. As much as we want transparency, do we need to know every single thing that the government is doing and has done? I think not. That's what I say. But I've got Neil Shulman on the line with me, and Neil's movie Alongside Night is the story of a final economic collapse of the United States as seen through the eyes of a 16-year-old. And Neil, thanks for joining me today.
It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
So, Neil, you know, one of the comments that you make is that Edward Snowden, what he did, was that so important to our freedoms? Was that so important to people knowing what the government was doing or not doing? I mean, did he have to release the fact that we were listening in on Germany? Why didn't he just release the fact that we were listening in on American citizens?
Well, let me start out by making a very radical statement. Edward Snowden did not break the law. And the reason that I can say that is because in the United States Constitution, which is supposed to be the highest law of the land, there is a Fourth Amendment which says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That's a direct quote from the Fourth Amendment.
Okay.
Part of the Constitution.
Right.
Now, the NSA is breaking that law when, without warrants, without warrants signed by a judge, and it can't be a judge in the executive branch, you know, in some secret, mock court in the executive branch. It has to be in the judicial branch. There has to be a warrant issued stating what the crime is and what you're hoping to get from this particular violation of somebody's privacy.
But before we go too far down, I know we're going to go with this, but let's come back to, you know, it's great that it's in the Constitution, and you're right, it is the highest law of the land. I get all of that. But when he signed his agreement to keep his mouth shut, right? I mean, if he really thought there was a violation of the Constitution, was there not another way for him to do this other than release it to the general public and they go running to Russia?
The answer is no, there wasn't, and we know that because you had the director of intelligence lying to their congressional oversight that they weren't doing it. So once you have the congressional oversight being violated, and an agreement is essentially an agreement made with criminals, which is not binding. Now, when I say that the Edward Snowden did not break the law, it's because there is a case in law called Norton versus Shelby from 1886, which says a law which is unconstitutional, an unconstitutional act is not a law. It confers no rights and imposes no duties. It affords no protection. It creates no office. It is, in legal contemplation, as inoperative as though it had never been passed. So any of those national security laws or edicts or executive orders or anything done which is in violation of the Fourth Amendment has no standing. Therefore, Edward Snowden did not break the law, and that he is being charged with espionage for revealing something which was illegal is, in fact, law enforcement. He was acting as a law enforcer against a government which was breaking the law. Therefore, in my view, what he did not only to reveal this information of lawbreaking, which was not known until he did it, okay, so at least not known publicly since Congress was being lied to, the congressional oversight was being lied to by the people who were breaking the law, he was, in essence, doing a job of law enforcement. And the fact that he has had to go to another country to protect himself from a government which wants to put him in prison for up to 30 years for revealing this government lawbreaking is a scandal.
Yeah, but Russia? Really? How about...
Where else was he going to go? That wasn't his first choice. He went to Hong Kong. The United States canceled his passport, which made it impossible for him to have any choice of where to go. And as a matter of fact, when he ended up at the Moscow airport, he was stuck there in limbo for 39 days because he had no passport. He had no options. Other countries he wanted to go to were more scared of the United States, and so they said, no, you can't come here. He tried France. He tried Brazil. You know, he was interested in going to Iceland. Countries were more afraid of the United States than they were afraid of doing the right thing.
Right. Well, Neil, what about the Congressional Inspector General? I mean, you're telling me he couldn't, there's nobody he could go to.
He says he tried. In his interview with Brian Williams, he says he tried, and he got nowhere.
Okay. So let's move on, because I don't want to hang on the one thing for the whole time. Now, how they use technology in Alongside Night to illustrate the privacy concerns. Example, like your smartphone that scrambles a voice and hides his location. I mean, look, I've been telling people forever, the reality is if you think that you've been hiding from the government until you got your smartphone, you're out of your mind. Because the first time you used a credit card, the first time you used a telephone, for that matter, they knew where you were, what you were doing, and what you were up to.
Yes.
Right? So to think that we're not being spied on, to think that these phone calls aren't being recorded in some way, shape, manner, or form, it's just not real, right?
Yes, and the fact is that all this technologically is being used counter to the protections of the Fourth Amendment. They're being used illegally. When police do this, they're breaking the law, and they should be going to prison for breaking the law. Only... it's an old boys network, a huge old boys network, which is more concerned with their aggrandizing and exercising illegal power like a mafia than they are in abiding by the law.
I just, again, I have my hard time with this is I would really, really like to understand. I probably would ask different questions than Brian did. I would really, though, like to understand to what degree, to what level he went to try to show superiors or the right people what was going on here.
He had no obligation whatsoever to work within the system when the system itself is corrupt and breaking the law.
But again, I go... And again,
any more than... Tell me this. When you had Americans stand on the Old North Bridge at Concord on April 19th, 1775, they were breaking the law of the land when they basically shot back at British soldiers who were coming to illegally seize their cache of guns.
Right.
In Philadelphia, on July 4th, 1776, when the members of the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence, they were breaking the law and putting at risk all those soldiers who were their countrymen up until that point. They was the American Revolution illegal? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, but what constitution were they working on, right? They didn't have one. And you brought up the constitution. And again, I didn't want it to go this way, but you brought up the constitution earlier. And I'm just coming back to, I specifically went down the Nazi road because I wanted to make a point that I'm not saying under any circumstance do you ever break your agreement, your promise, or what have you. But in this case, Edward Snowden, then by your own words, Edward Snowden signed something that was illegal to begin with, right? When he signed an agreement not to divulge secrets, not to talk about what he was doing there, not to give out any of that information, then what he was signing was A, illegal, and B, did you think at that point he knew or agreed that he was breaking the law? I mean, this is a little confusing.
Look, you know, if you assign a confidentiality agreement and then you find that that confidentiality agreement encompasses criminal activity, then I think that any prosecutor in this country would say that that confidentiality agreement is null and void because it's a because supporting criminal activity is wrong.
Right.
So therefore, if Edward Snowden discovered that his confidentiality agreement was covering up for illegal activity by the government, then that agreement was null and void because it was an agreement made with criminals. It was therefore null and void.
Okay, now we've got to go for a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. We're talking about whether Edward Snowden was a hero or not. I'm here with Neil Shulman, and we're talking about the movie Alongside Night. We'll be back in just a minute. Back, you're listening to The Real Side, not The Right Side, not The Wrong Side, but The Real Side. I'm your host, Joe Messina. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. I appreciate the time you spend with me on the air, in the chat room, texting, tweeting, and just being involved in the conversation. I think we've hit a sore spot on this one. Anyway, I am your host, Joe Messina. Always a pleasure. Remember my pips, you guys are great, my politically incorrect posse. I appreciate all the stories you send me. I'm getting to them as best I can, I promise. So, anyhow, I'm going to take 2 weeks off. I haven't done that in a long time. Christmas and New Year. So for some of you who haven't been longtime listeners, I'm going to reach deep into the archives and grab some very old shows that I think you'll really appreciate. Some old gems. I mean, we've got like almost 900 shows, so I should be able to do something, right? Anyway, I'm Joe Messina, your host. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. You are listening to The Real Side. Not The Right Side, not The Wrong Side, but The Real Side. We're talking about whether or not Edward Snowden is a hero. Okay, and this seems to have lit you up all over the place. I've got J. Neil Shulman on the line with me, and we're talking about his movie also, Alongside Night. It's a story of a final economic collapse in the United States, as seen through the eyes of a 16-year-old. Now, again, Neil, thanks so much for joining me today.
Once again, my pleasure.
All right, so give us a Reader's Digest of the movie, and why you did it, and then we'll move on from there.
Well, I've been saying that, in publicity that it's about the economic collapse of the United States, but really what it's about is the political collapse of the United States, of which the trigger is the dollar becoming worthless, and therefore you can't pay the army anymore. And once a government can't pay its army, it is in fact politically dead. And my viewpoint character is the son of a Nobel Prize winning economist played by Kevin Sorbo, Dr. Martin Vreeland, who is the last chance for the United States government to remain in business because the European finance ministers are willing to lend the United States gold to issue a new gold-backed currency, but only if Dr. Martin Vreeland is the U.S. Treasury Secretary, because they trust him not to devalue the dollar again and screw them. Okay. So his son, Elliot, basically finds himself in the middle of this political crisis when his father and his mother and sister are missing. And the context that we later find out is that the director of FEMA, it's actually the FBI in the original novel, which came out in 1979, but I changed it to FEMA for the movie to update it because Federal Emergency Management is part of Homeland Security. A dictatorial director of FEMA who wants to establish his own power base has established an underground prison. And where this ties in to Edward Snowden is that a girl named Lorimer has discovered proof of this secret prison that that radicals are being shipped to without charges, without trial, in total violation of the Bill of Rights. And she basically steals this information from the director's files and gives it to a revolutionary organization called the Revolutionary Agorist Cadre. And in doing so, and again, this was the same plot that I had in the 1979 published novel as in the movie, which has had limited release this year and is going to general release in 2015. So the basic story here is that this character, Lorimer, has taken this information, proof of government wrongdoing, of a secret prison, a violation of the Bill of Rights, and in the novel does what Edward Snowden did, which is make it possible for this information to be released to the general public so they can decide what they want to do with a government out of control.
Well, okay, so let's get back. I mean, like I said, this has raised a whole bucket of questions here and thoughts along this thing. A lot of the programs are a lot of the information that Snowden gave out were based on programs that had been approved by the government, already approved by the courts. So I don't understand, if that's the case, what was he really giving up?
I guess what we're talking about is him basically taking a moral stand beyond that of the legal system. And again, that's why I emphasize that this has its roots in the American Revolution, where those who signed the Continental, those of the Continental Congress who signed the Declaration of Independence, were in effect putting their consciousness, their consciences, okay, their view of human liberty above the existing government, above the existing law. So you could say that this was arrogant on the part of Edward Snowden to put his conscience above that of the existing law. But then you have to condemn the American revolutionaries for the exact same thing. And we don't have a country today.
Let me see. Again, I'm trying to keep up with everything coming at me here.
the question that we're asking here is a fundamental question. And that is, if you take human rights as your highest duty, over and above law, and that's the question that the Nazi soldier has. That's the question that anybody who is going to break the law out of conscience has. You have to ask, is the Declaration of Independence a legal precedent for placing conscience above law?
Right, but
the American Revolution a legal precedent for placing conscience above law?
But what Snowden did, for all intents and purposes, at this point in time, has changed nothing. And I think it's because of the way he went about it. I think there were other ways that he could have done this.
He revealed it to the American people, and it is now up to the American people to decide how to react. If they are unwilling to do what the revolutionaries in 1776 did and simply allow government corruption to continue because they're unwilling to stand up for themselves, there's not a lot we can do about it. He took the first step. The rest of the step is up to us. Now our conscience is on the line.
So I don't have the time to pull this off, but I mean, with everything going down with the report we just heard about the CIA, I mean, there's questionable things in that as well. I'm like thoroughly confused here as to what level do we get to go to get information, to keep this country safe, to keep people safe.
Safety is not the primary question. Liberty is the primary question. This government is supposed to enforce the people's rights, not their safety.
Yeah, but you can't have liberty without safety. You're not free to do what you want to do.
According to Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, those who place safety above liberty deserve neither.
But you can't have, how can you be free if you're not safe? And I'm not saying that you get to lose all your rights over it. It's not what I mean.
All right.
You know what I mean?
If you're going to make that calculation, I think you're making a calculation based on an illusion. I don't believe that you can truly be safe if, in fact, what you're doing is making the violation of rights policy. And it's the reason why I consider torture, even of Khalid Muhammad, the architect of 9/11. If you don't respect his rights...
Neil, I got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Sorry. Back, you'll see the real side, not the right side, not the wrong side, but the real side. I'm your host, Joe Messina. Always a pleasure to have you on board. We're up against it. I don't know what happened there, but as usual, I'm not paying attention to the clock, talking to the guests, just screwing things up tremendously. I want to thank my guests today. I've had... J. Neil Shulman on the line with me. We're talking about a movie alongside Night. Neil, tell people where they can get your more information about you and the movie and so on.
AlongsideNightMovie.com. That's where somebody who wants to schedule a screening right now can go. And if you can get 70 people together, you can put a screening on either in just about any movie theater in any region of the country or in a church basement or college meeting room. It's all set up, again, link from alongsidenightmovie.com.
Great.
Or it will be in general release next year.
All right, we'll have you back on again. Thanks for being on with me today.
My pleasure. Yeah.
You've been listening to Real Side, not the right side, not the wrong side, but the real side. We'll be back more at the top of the hour. Got a lot more going on. For those of you got to leave, we will catch you later on.